We've got an enemy who wants to destroy us, an enemy that wants to hinder us, an enemy that wants to impede our progress in any way that he can. But by the same token, we've got a God that's going to encourage us, that's going to motivate us to keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 13, starting, we'll jump in the middle of the scripture here, in verse 24, the Bible says, when John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. John says in verse 25, the Bible says, and as John fulfilled his course, he said. I want to talk this morning, this little thought, fulfilling your course. Fulfilling your course. Father, I'm begging you in the name of Jesus Christ to fill with your Holy Spirit, to guide my speech, my tongue, my actions, all that I say and all that I do. I pray, God, that you be the great puppet master that will be directing everything. And for that, God, I'll personally shout hallelujah. I pray, God, that you take your word and let it become much alive to each of us that are reading it, that are hearing it this morning. I pray, God, that you change somebody's mindset that might be the mindset of defeat or depression or whatever else, Father. But I pray, God, that instead you interject in their minds thoughts of not only hope, but also expectation. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray, that's God, that somebody that perhaps may have gotten off course, perhaps someone who has stopped going forward. I pray, God, this morning, your Holy Ghost that lives on the inside will begin to burn once again, to stir once again. And that God will shout hallelujah. I pray, God, for that soul that might be among us, that's in the midst here, that may not be truly saved, blood bought and born again. But I pray, God, this will be that morning. They'll put off the pretense. They'll put off the falsehood. And then come forward and receive Jesus as Lord, Savior, and King. And that God will shout hallelujah. And then, God, there's much more that I could mention, but we're going to stop here, sir. But I pray, God, wherever I'm leaving out that I might should mention, I pray, God, should take care of that need as well. And for that, God, we'll thank you. Watch over all those who will be watching live streaming, those who are watching now and those who watch later. Bless their families. Bless their homes. And I pray, God, that your Holy Ghost would breathe through the internet, that would go through the atmosphere and grab a hold of somebody's life and change it for the better. And for that, God, we'll shout again. Hallelujah. Help somebody, please. For us in your Son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, my, but a mighty Jesus. A mighty Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Fulfilling your course. As I was studying this message the last few days and going over and pondering over it, there was a message I heard a long time ago by my pastor, which he preached called Stay the Course. Of course, I'm not preaching his message this morning. Couldn't do that anyhow. But nonetheless, I thought about these verses of scriptures here where the Bible says, and as John fulfilled his course. If you're going to read this whole chapter, this is Paul. He's speaking to the believers. And what Paul is saying to them, he begins to recount back in verse 13 all the way down. He talks about the great things that have happened in Israel's life that lead up to Jesus Christ coming. Then he comes down here and he talks about a man named John. Not the Apostle John. Not John Mark. But John the Baptist. A man that was the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing that Paul says about John under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he says, and as John fulfilled his course. That word fulfilled, it means to accomplish, it means to finish, it means to complete a business or work. In this case, the Bible says he is fulfilling his course. That word course means race. But it also means, figuratively, career, or metaphorically, it means one's life or ministry. He says, you know what? John had a job to do. And John fulfilled his ministry. John fulfilled his course. John completed the job that God had called him to do. Well, that's pretty amazing to me. Why are you saying that, preacher? It's a profound statement because some people don't finish the course. Some people, my dear friends, don't continue. They don't go as far as God may have intended for them to go. But the Bible says, and throughout the Bible, but especially here, the Bible shows a man named John fulfilled his course. He fulfilled his ministry. He fulfilled his life's journey. I want to ask a question. Are you and I determined to fulfill the course that God has laid out before us? The opposite of fulfill, the antonym for fulfill is to abandon. Not only to abandon, but to fail, to give up, to not finish, to nullify, to relinquish. I wonder how many of us would say, my soul, there have been times I've abandoned my course. I've failed my course. I've given up. I've not finished. I've nullified. I've relinquished my course. When you do that, that means you get off course. But God wants us to stay on course. But there's an enemy that wants to stop us in our course. There's an enemy that wants to stop the ministry, the service that God has given for each of us to do. Everybody here has a call upon their life. So no, not me. Oh, no, you too. If you are blood-bought, born-again, placed in the family of God, God has a call on your life. God has a ministry for you. God has a service for you. But we've got an enemy, my friends, who don't want us to continue to serve God. Don't want us to minister for God. Don't want us to help others come to know Christ as their personal Savior. As I thought about this, I said, you know, this is a good person to study on. Let's look at his life for a second. How did he fulfill his ministry? How did he fulfill his course? John Gill put it like this. He says, this course requires strength, courage, agility, patience, and perseverance. And I have to say amen to all of that. Amen. Because it does, my dear friends. It requires you and I to have strength, of course, in Christ, but courage, agility, patience, and perseverance. Because sometimes you do want to just simply quit. How many times you started a new job and it got hard and you just wanted to quit? But you didn't quit. And because you didn't quit, you saw things begin to go further and further for you. I'm thinking about Billy right now. Back in what year was that? Y'all started the ministry. Did you? In 2001. And I'm sure there have been moments, there have been times, especially in the early stages, now you know it is. But because of the circumstances, because of what's happening, you might want to say, maybe this ain't it. Maybe God didn't say this. Or maybe God didn't. Well, are you sure God didn't? I mean, if God said it, my friends, then he said it. But sometimes the flesh gets in the way. And sometimes you want to just quit. Sometimes you just want to stop. And the enemy is sitting on the sideline going, yeah, stop. But hallelujah, we got a God who don't sit on the sideline. Well, you're in the midst of the game, he'll get right in the midst of the game with you. And he'll tell you, keep on going. Don't stop. Keep on going. Don't stop. Keep on going. Just look real quickly and we'll be done. The first thing we want to see is John's miraculous birth. Look what the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1 and verse 13. And as the story unveils itself, the Bible teaches us that his mother, Elizabeth, she was barren. She couldn't have children. She was old. And his daddy was one of the priests, and he had been praying and crying out to God. And then God comes by and answers his prayer. And look what the Bible says here in verse 13. The Bible says, verse 11. And there appears to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And the Bible says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great, my soul, in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What a miraculous birth. Mama couldn't have children. years old. But her husband was in there. He was praying. God hears his prayer. Says his angel. Says, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. Your prayer is going to be answered. You're going to have a son. And look what he says. Look what he says about this son. Jump right in there in the middle of verse number 14. The Bible says, and he shall, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Many are going to be excited at the birth of John. Of course, I thought to myself, is that not like the Christian life? Amen. It's a miraculous birth. And by the way, when we are born again to the family of God, many are excited. Many people rejoice. Many people, my dear friends, are praising God because we've trusted Jesus as our Lord, Savior, and King. Who the Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 3 and verse number 3. Who the Bible says right here. I'm trying to compose myself. I know I'm going. I'm excited. Who the Bible says here in John 3. And look down at verse number 3. The Bible says this. Jesus answered and said to him. And he's talking to Nicodemus. Saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That word again, by the way, means above. Hallelujah. The word be born means to be regenerated. Again means from above. Born again. Born from above. That is a miraculous birth. Amen. Yeah, yeah. The Bible goes on the same. He said, the Nicodemus said to him, how in the world? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That don't make sense. And Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. The Bible says, of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, oh my, it's flesh. Oh, and that which is born of the Spirit, is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must. Not, it's a, you may or you could or you might should. No, you must be born again. Then drop down verse number 9. And Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Look at verse number 14. And he tells him, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have partial life. No. Oh, I'm sorry. Eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've got it now. According to what the Bible says, it is everlasting. It's a miraculous birth. So first of all, if you're going to fulfill your course, then you have to have a miraculous birth. You got to be born again. If you don't start there, then you're going to start wrong. By the way, there are some folks who are trying to start the course by not taking the first step. They've not been saved yet. They're trying to work. They're trying to serve. They're trying to do all these things, but they've not had the new birth. They've not been born again. They're only going through the motions. But you know, when you get born again, you know something has happened on the inside. Because there's a transformation that takes place. All of a sudden, some of the things you used to like, you don't like no more. Yeah, not more, but no more. Amen. There's some things, my dear friends, all of a sudden, you used to, I tell people all the time, people, when you're witnessing to people, and they'll say, well, you know, I do this, and I do that, I'm not worried about all that stuff you do now. Right. You mean I ain't got to stop drinking? I'm not worried about your drinking. Right. You mean I got to stop doing this? I ain't worried about all that kind of stuff. Why is that, preacher? Because I know something's going to happen here. Right. When you receive Jesus as your Lord, Savior, and King, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your life. And he begins to change you from the inside outwardly. Then all of a sudden, my friends, you don't have that desire that you used to have. Yep, amen. But sometimes what we try to do is this. Now, what you're going to have to do now, you're going to have to stop your cussing, stop your lying, stop your stealing, stop your... Well, if I can do all that, why would I need to get saved? Right. What do I need Jesus for? If I can do that myself. But my dear friends, that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. Because it's his power. It's not your power. As long as you're trying, you ain't going to make it. But stop trying and start what? Trusting. Okay. First of all, there's a miraculous birth. But then we see John's ministry. Now go over to Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 2. Let's look at his ministry. Look at his ministry. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse number 2. We'll be verse 1. We won't leave by itself. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written. Mark chapter 1. As it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. Paul's. What's his ministry? First of all, the Bible shows us that right here, he is that messenger that goes before the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, prepare ye the way. That word, way here, prepare ye the way, means to prepare, my dear friends, the road. In other words, get ready. Get ready. He's coming. Get ready. But then watch this. How do I get ready? How do I get ready? He says here, he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That word remission means pardon or forgiveness. Repentance means a change of mind or reversal of decision. He preached, my dear friends, you need repentance. He preached, my dear friends, that you need to act in repentance to be baptized. Not for repentance, but because you have repented. Because you have changed. Why do we have baptism here? After a person gets saved, you follow the Lord and believe his baptism. What that does, my dear friends, is it shows, expresses to the whole world about what has taken place on the inside of you. It represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes for the young kid, we try to show it this way. When you step into that water, here's the water line right here. When you step into that water, right here, what do you have right here? You have a cross. The cross signifies death. You go under the water. Now you even with the water now, right? That represents the burial. And then when you come up, that represents what? The resurrection, which is a new life. Listen, my dear friends, but ain't nothing magnificent takes place in the pool now. But obedience. See, if you've been saved and you haven't been baptized yet, you start off wrong. Well, I don't want to get baptized. You start off doing what? Disobedience. You ain't been half a day, and all of a sudden you're just stupid. But anyway, I got kids too. They get this. Anyway. But anyway, but the Bible says right here, his ministry, he is preaching repentance for the remission of sins. The Bible says in verse number 5, and there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Acknowledging their sins, their offense. That was his ministry. Bringing people to the Savior. What's our ministry? You know. Listen to what the Bible says over here. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. You know I got a verse for that, don't you? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Look what the Bible says over here. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 18. The Bible says, Paul talking to the church in Corinth, and Paul says this. And all, let's read verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is an old creature. I'm sorry. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That word new here means freshness. Freshness. The Bible says here, and all things are of God who have reconciled us to himself. That's wonderful. By Jesus Christ. But watch this. And have given to us the ministry, the service of what? Reconciliation. That word reconciliation means restoration to divine favor. We have a ministry to bring people back into divine favor with God, to reconcile them, to restore them to him. That's our ministry in the nutshell. Everything you do, when the choir sings, we must say, well, I'm just singing, you know, to sound good. No. We know what we're doing. Sing the song, prepare the heart to hear the message from the Word of God. Or not only just preparing the heart, but also as we sing those songs, a lot of times in the midst of those songs, God begins to minister to somebody's life, somebody's heart. We're getting them ready, getting them prepared. Because a lot of times we'll walk through that door and we'll be defeated. We'll walk through that door. We'll have, as somebody would say from that south, we have the mully grubs and all that kind of stuff. But all of a sudden, my dear friends, we hear a song that's being sung. All of a sudden, our head is lifted up. All of a sudden, there's door on the inside. All of a sudden, my friends, there's a shout that starts to swell up. Before long, my friends, we're feeling mighty good. The ministry that we have is of reconciliation, restoration, divine favor. But now watch this. We see his miraculous birth, his ministry. But then we see John's marvelous humility. Through the Bible says back over to Mark chapter number 1. Humility. The Bible said in chapter 1, verse 6, we see John's humility, marvelous humility. The Bible said in verse number 6, and John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle. That's a belt, by the way. Just make y'all understand that. Okay. With a girdle of skin about his loin. That's his hip. And he did, look at his menu. He did eat locusts and wild honey. And the Bible says, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier, more powerful than I after me. The latchet, the strap of whose shoes I am not worthy, I'm not fit, I'm not competent, my soul, to stoop down and unloose. He said right here, I'm not worthy means fit or competent. I'm not fit, I'm not competent to even bend down, to bend forward and unloose his shoes. Do you know what he's saying? I'm not even worthy to be a servant. Now, not us here. But some folks, they think, man, God should be glad to have me. Wait a minute. We need to see ourselves, my dear friend, as being unworthy. So I don't deserve to be his servant. I don't deserve. I know I'm wicked, I'm bad. But you see here, his humility, his humbleness. Amen. You say, preacher, what that got to do with me? You know. Look with me now. Over to 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 5. What are you talking about, preacher? Fulfilling your course. As you and I fulfill our course, my dear friends, there's going to be a miraculous birth. There's going to be a ministry for us. There's going to be marvelous humility as we fulfill our course. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Look what the Bible says here in 1 Peter 5, verse number 5. The Bible says this. The Bible says, likewise, ye younger. This is for the young folks. Submit yourselves unto the elder. Yeah, I hear right here. Yea, all of you, before the elder get too high-minded, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. That word clothed means to wear. Humility means a humbleness of mind. Why? For God resisteth, he is opposed to the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Look at this again. That word, he says opposed to proud. The word proud in this verse means appearing above others. I'm above all y'all. You know what God says? I oppose you. I'm against you, he says. But he goes on to say, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you when? In due time. That word due time means set proper season. God has a season where he is going to exalt you. That is, if you humble yourself. But sometimes we ain't humbling ourselves. We filled up with too much pride. Look what I can do. I've got education. That's wonderful. That's the wrong with education. But who gave you that mind to think? Well, I worked. I studied. I was in them books. And I was sweating coffee. And I was just going and going. You can do all that and lose your mind. God kept your mind intact. Well, but I'm a big time executive, or I'm a somebody here, or somebody. Hey, my friends, you could do nothing without the Almighty God's help. Humble ourselves, that He may exalt us in due season. So we see his humility. You know, he didn't think he was somebody. Because this man had crowds flocking him. But he says, wait a minute. There's somebody coming that's a whole lot mightier than me. Whole lot better than me. That's the one you need to look to. And then we see here, which I really can't get to the heart of. Then we see John's melancholy spirit. The word melancholy means his gloomy state of mind. Gloomy? Yeah. Look what the Bible says over in Matthew 11, verse 2. Matthew 11, and look at verse number 2. Matthew 11, and look at verse number 2. The Bible says this. Here is John the Baptist. But you got to remember, when Jesus was walking toward him, he baptized Jesus. And when he seen Jesus coming out, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He baptized him. He heard the Father when the Father said, this is my Son, my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And he always said, this is him. This is him. But now watch this. In verse number 2. Now when John had heard in the prison. Whoa, jailbird, what? He heard in the prison the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples and said to him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? John? Is it the same John who was baptizing? And here comes Jesus. He says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And now we're saying, is it you or do we look for somebody else? Sound like to me, my dear friends, he's kind of down. He's in prison. Why is he in prison? Because he had been talking to Herod and he told Herod, it ain't right for you to have your brother's wife. The man finds himself in jail. He's in prison. And sometimes, my dear friends, when you and I are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we'll find ourselves in a somewhat spiritual prison. All of a sudden, we'll find ourselves being hurt, being wounded. And when you're hurt, when you're wounded, all of a sudden, my friends, you begin to wonder. You begin to question, but is it him? In our case, what? Well, did the Lord tell me to? Did he not? I don't know. I mean, things are not going like I thought. I did not think that I would be preaching and I'd be telling the truth. And all of a sudden, you know, there he go. He going to jail. They don't like him no more. At one time, crowds are flocking. Now he's sitting in jail by himself. Ask him, is it him? Or do we look for another? Well, sometimes we get discouraged. Look, the Bible says in Numbers 21 and look at verse 4. Look at Numbers 21 and look at verse number 4. Here's a group of folks who are pretty much mirrored. We mirror them. Look what the Bible says in Numbers 21 and look at verse number 4. The Bible says this. The Bible says, and they journeyed. Verse 4. And talking about the children of Israel. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the Bible says, and the soul, wasn't the body, the soul of the people was much, now a little bit, discouraged, grieved. Why? Because of the way. That word way here means course of life. Journey. Listen, sometimes we get discouraged because of the journey, because of the way. And if we're not careful, because we get discouraged, then we will not fulfill the course. We're traveling down the road, but all of a sudden it's stormy, it's lightning, attacks from the left and the right. And all of a sudden, we become discouraged because of the way. All of it. You get married. And it's like, you know, you stand up there, you know, I love you too. The death do us part, the death do us part, rich or poor. You did say richer or poor. You have financial troubles today? Next thing you know, we want a divorce. Because the money ain't flowing. Rich or poor. At first, we was all Google eyes. I didn't love you. Now, boy, I hate that rascal. I should suffocate him in his sleep.
Wait a minute. What happened? It's rough. It's hard. When things get hard, my friends, all of a sudden, what is it? The will of God. Why? Because it's hard. I thought it was going to be smooth. Where'd you read that at? You didn't read it in this book. He said they hated you. They hated me. They don't hate you. But when things start going wrong, when things start getting rough, when it gets hot in the kitchen, we go with the old saying. Well, what do they say? If it gets, what do they say about getting hot in the kitchen? Get out. Amen. Y'all got what I'm talking about. Get out the kitchen if it gets hot in there. Well, no. Turn down the heat. Turn up the stove. Open the windows up. Well, we want to jump ship. Let's get out of here. But thanks for filling your course. I'm going to school. I'm going to college. Yes. I want to be all I can be for whatever I need to be for thee. And all of a sudden, all the homework. Oh, Lord. Trigonometry, trinometry. They got some new geometry. I mean, what is all this stuff here? I thought I was going, I mean, the first day of college, I mean, I went, I have all my books and my stuff. I was like, I'm going to college. Now you got homework that takes you about 3 weeks to finish for one day. They're like, oh, I ain't got my wife no more. Maybe it wasn't the Lord's will. Man, I missed your signal, didn't I, Lord? I sure did. I know I missed your signal. And this is too rough. Well, wait a minute. Now this is too rough. I mean, you got to quit. I want to be a Sunday school teacher. And all of a sudden, you got to teach. Yeah, hello? Commitment? I got to. I don't want to. That was some of us. Let's get home. Let me rough some fellas a little bit. That was some of us don't want to work in a nursery. Commitment. Well, what if? Well, what if? I mean, I'd like to, but what if? You know, I mean, it might have something going on that day. I might be the one in the nursery. Listen, the nursery ain't for sissies. It's not. It's for the bold and the strong. I mean, but you know what? It takes commitment. It takes dedication. Well, that's like, man, I don't know about doing that. That's you know, I mean, that's a, yeah. Same with the choir, though. I want to sing, you know. I want to sing. Ooh, I can't sing. I want to sing. Practice. I thought I was getting up on Sunday morning and just the Holy Ghost just breathe through. No, you got to sing. We listened to the Samson girls and Billy and well, all of them. But I'm just saying. But we listened to the Samson girls. And we're like, ooh, man, them girls can sing. I mean, they'd be sitting there and just, it'd be like it'd be just effortless. Just effortless. But you don't know what happened behind the scenes. You don't know the tears, the sweat, the crying. Am I lying? I ain't lying. Get that note. Get that note. Daddy, I'm trying. I'm trying, Daddy. You ain't trying hard enough. Y'all see, Jay ain't quit. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, it's work. I mean, you don't just give them something. It takes work. It takes commitment. And then, though, when you see them singing, but then you add God's anointing power, then all of a sudden the song that they've sung many times, all of a sudden that song just rings out and some people are just drawn to the altars. I mean, we've been in meetings, and you know, we've been in meetings, we see them, they just flocking to the altars, just flocking. Folks getting right with God, people being called to preach, marriages being restored. But it takes commitment, it takes work. And if we are going to fulfill our course, fulfill our ministry that God has given us, my dear friends, we got to continue to press on. But we ain't going to press without no help, though. Oh, there's going to be some help. So, preacher, where's my help coming from? Let me show you. Flip back over there to Mark, chapter number. Let's go to Matthew, chapter number 11. Remember, John says, is it him or should we look for somebody else? I'm feeling kind of low. I got the mully grubs. I got the gloomies. And look what the Bible says in chapter number 11 and verse number 3. And he said to him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? The Bible says, Jesus answered, you wicked servant, you no good rascal, you dirty dog, you know it's me. What's wrong with you? That's what he said. Jesus jumped on the man. Instead, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said to him, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised again. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Go tell John. The blind can see. Tell John. The ministry is being carried out. The word goes from the Lord. Tell John, yes, it's me. But watch what he goes on to say. Verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? Is that what you wanted to see? He goes on to say here, but what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yeah. I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, they have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He didn't scold him. And then he tells them, what did you go out to see? A weed, or a reed shaking in the wind? John wasn't out there shaking. John was preaching. What did you go out to see? A guy dressed in fine clothes? Not John. John had on some rough attire. He had some rugged. My soul. If he was coming here to preach this morning, it was my soul. Somebody buy the man a suit. He was rough. He eating honey and locusts and wild honey. But Jesus, all the opposite things that you want to see, he was opposite of those things. This was a man that was out there doing the work that he was called to do. What is he doing? He's lifting him up. The same God that lifts up John the Baptist is the same God that'll lift up you and I. Listen, my dear friends. What he was doing, here was John the Baptist, and he's standing right here, and his head's down. Now John can't hear these words, but this is what he's saying about John. He said, this is one of my soldiers. This is one of my soldiers. He might be down right now, but he ain't no reed shaking in the wind. No, he ain't walking around with soft clothes on. No, he's a strong one. He might be a little bit discouraged, but he surely ain't defeated.
Amen.
That's the kind of God that we have, my dear friends. Hey, we might be down right now, but my soul, we ain't going to stay down.
Amen.
We see him. What happens? Let's come to the conclusion thing. We see the master's encouragement, and then we see the ministry's fulfilled. Go with me to Matthew 14. And look at verse 3. Matthew 14 and verse 3. I don't know about you, but if I was sitting there down, is it him? Then they come back and say, John. He said the blind can see. The lame can walk. It's him. John, it's him. What do you think? To me, it's like Popeye. You know, when Popeye, when his name was Bruto?
Brutus, whatever his name was, poor Popeye, he'd be standing there and he'd be hitting them, and Popeye'd be flying all over the place, and he'd be just boom, 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 and he'd be getting all beat up. I'm like, come on, Popeye. And he'd be getting beat up, and all of a sudden he'd be laid out. He'd be stretched out. And all of a sudden, somebody come by. Sometimes, what's her name? Olive oil? Okay. But sometimes she'll come by and she'll have a can of that spinach and she'll pop the top and he'll be laying there. He's all like, oh, I can't make it. I got beat up for that woman. Oh, here I go. Then she come down and she'll open his mouth up and yeah. And go, 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 place. It's like, whoa! And all of a sudden, here he comes again, and then Bruno comes up to him, he goes, boom! And he's going flying through the air and all this kind of stuff. What happened? He got him some spinach. To me, that's what those words do. It's like God's words of spinach. When he hears these words come back, all of a sudden, my dear friends, you don't see him being afraid now. What you see is this. Who the Bible says back over in chapter 14 of Matthew. And listen, I'll drop down at verse number 2. And said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, and you think about Jesus. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. The little Bible said, for Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison, for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said to him, it's not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. And the Bible says, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, they was in cohesion together. And she said this, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. I want it on a platter. The Bible says, and the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them was set with him at meat. He commanded it to be given her. And the Bible says, and he sent and beheaded John the Baptist. The Bible says, in prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. The Bible says, and the disciples came and took up the body and buried it. What happens? He's in prison. Of course, Herodias' daughter, she danced before Herod. And now she says, I want his head. And they go over there. And another verse says the executioner walks in that prison. And they get John. And he cuts his head off. I don't think John was afraid. The Bible doesn't say he was saying, no, stop it. You read the Fox's book. How many of y'all heard of the Fox Book of Martyrs? You read those books. These are folks who came afterwards. And many of them will stay at the stake. They will be tied there. And they will be on flames. They will be burning their bodies. But they would not renounce the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not go back on the Savior. And they would be burning at the stake. Some of them would be singing songs. They would take the women and the children, put them on ships, and send the ship way out, and they would shoot arrows with fire on the end of the arrows onto those ships, and it would burn them alive. All because they would not do the things that, and I'm not trying to be ugly or anything, but just truth is the truth. But with the Catholic Church, they didn't want them to bow down before Mary to worship the different statues, the different idols. They would not. They would get baptized by immersion, which would be fully wet, to go under completely. And when they would go under completely, they would call them Anabaptists, because they would call, which means rebaptizers. And they would have them killed. But you know what? They still would not go back. Many of them, when they would stand before them, all they had to do was say, no, I renounce this. But they would not renounce. Yeah. I think this all goes back to John the Baptist. He is the first one. James was the second one, which was the Apostle John's brother. But John the Baptist. I believe he went and cut his head off. I don't think he was running. He had gotten word from the master that it's him. And they cut his head off. And look what the Bible says happened. After they cut his head off, the Bible says, and they went, verse 12, and told Jesus. And the Bible says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. John the Baptist, one of his servants, had fulfilled his course. John the Baptist, who was a forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, who was also the cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. Elizabeth and Mary being sisters. The Bible says he got apart by himself. Why did he do that? I don't know. Perhaps he's thinking about John. That servant. That man that fought the good fight of faith. That later Paul says, finished his course. I like what Tom Malone said. I know it didn't happen this way, but I like the way he said it. He said he can just imagine when the executioner came into that prison to get John the Baptist. They cut his head off. And instead of him shrieking and running and hiding, he said, "All John." He said, "I can just see John the Baptist. All he did was just stick his neck out." And then they cut his head off, but without fear. This is this part I like here. This is, like I said, this ain't in the Bible, but I just like it anyway. He said, I could see them coming down there with that platter with John the Baptist's head. Because they wanted his head. They brought it to them. And he said, I could see him. His head's on that platter. And they're walking down the aisle with that head on there. And all of a sudden, somebody sees his mouth moving. This is just good preaching. This ain't happening. This is good preaching. I see his mouth moving. And they're coming down there. Somebody said, well, what is he saying? Look and see what he's saying. And so somebody leans over there. And they put their ear to John the Baptist's mouth. And then listen to what he says. He says, I didn't shake my soul. Listen, my dear friends. We've got a God, my dear friends, that'll give us strength for the journey. We've got a God, my friends, to help us to finish that course, to fulfill that course. Flip back with me. We're done. Look what the Bible says back over in Acts chapter number 13. The Bible says this. And Paul, another great man of God. And Paul says, and as John fulfilled his course. He completed his journey. He had run, but he crossed the finish line. I wonder how many of us this morning are thinking about quitting. I wonder how many of us this morning have gotten off course. We were on course. We was on target. We was going on the road the right way. But something happened to get us off course. And now we're going down the wrong street. Instead of being on Main Street, we've gotten off on a side street. But that side street, instead of going in the same direction, it's going on an angle. It's going like this. And when it's going like this, that means we're getting further and further away. And what God has said, I need you to do something. I need you to stop going further and further away. I need you to get back on course. Get back on course. The enemy wants to keep you off course. He wants to bog your mind down with stuff. If there's anything that can bog your mind down, it's finances. I know some people don't have that problem, but the vast majority of us do. Finances cause your mind just to be consumed. This got to be paid. This got to be paid. We need this and we need that. And we need this. And all of a sudden, my dear friends, you'll find yourself in a deep depression. All of a sudden, my friends, you're wondering, well, how am I going to pay for this? I need this. And we've got medicines over here. We got doctor bills over here. We've got these credit card bills over here. We got school bills for the kids over here. We got all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, your mind gets bogged down. And all of a sudden, the stuff that you're supposed to be doing in your ministry for the master gets put to the side. It gets placed over here. Now your focus is on here. But all of a sudden, you know what happens? We need a second job. We need a third job. But all of a sudden, we ain't in church at all. Because we got to be at all them jobs. And so, well, the Lord understands. Yeah, he understands. But do you want to know what he really understands? Because the Bible hasn't changed. Right. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. In other words, my dear friends, if God commands us that we have to be in a place of worship, then, my friends, why in the world would he say, I want y'all to work forever and never be able to go worship? That don't make sense. That's contradictory. But what happens so often, my dear friends, is sometimes we decide we don't figure out how we're going to do this. What we ought to do, my dear friends, get along with God. And sometimes it takes something called fasting and praying. Now, see, we all know that. But do we all do that? When's the last time we fasted and prayed about something? I ain't talking about no 24-hour fast. I'm talking about fasting. 3-day fast. 3 days. With just water. I like that Daniel fast. See, if Daniel fast, you can eat vegetables and you can eat it.
Well, Daniel fast, fine. The Lord tells you to do Daniel fast. But I'm talking about fasting. I'm talking about this thing is serious. And as soon as you start fasting, you know what's going to happen? That first day, everything coming out the woodworks. I'm going to tell y'all now because I'm just about done. I've been fasting the last few days. I look on Facebook. Somebody got to make cream cheese dessert. I'm like, my soul. I saw it on Facebook, but it wasn't bad enough. She sent me a text message. I hope it tastes good to April's. And she don't know I'm fasting. No, I'm like, no, praise the Lord. All of a sudden, my friend, everywhere I look, I mean, I went to bed last night. I was getting ready to pray. And I knelt down there. Before I got ready, I started laughing. So I said, what's wrong? I said, you don't believe how I saw my prayer. She said, what'd you say? I said, Lord, thank you for this food about to eat. I was like, it wasn't eating time. It wasn't eating time yet. I was like, my soul. I mean, it's like, well, I'm like, no, I'm, and then one part of me said, man, it's going to, you're all right. You did a day here. You should be fine. I'm like, no, I got a kid. I knew I told her what I was going to do. Then this morning, bless her heart, she didn't know. Miss Robert, she comes in this morning. She's like, I got you something. It's probably my birthday cake. I'm like, that's wonderful. And guess what it is? Red velvet. That's why I hesitated. I said, One mama said, oh, you should be done by now. This is okay. But as soon, what I'm trying to get you to see is this. As soon as you and I decide we're going to get serious about this thing, whatever it might be, not fat, it could be anything, but he's going to do something. Or not he, but something's going to happen to what it calls you to stop doing whatever God has told you to do. And if you and I are going to fulfill our course, there's some things that we're going to have to jump over. There's some things we're going to have to run around. There's some things, my dear friends, that we're going to have to do something about instead of just stopping and saying, well, there's in the way. No. Where there's a will, there is a way. Spiritually speaking, that's true. I'm done. Jolene was telling me about this game that she plays on the computer. And she said she won't, she said she'll keep playing that game until she beats the game. And one time, how many said time you played that one particular game? She had 3,000 moves before she won. Instead of starting a new game, she was determined to finish. She said, there is a way to beat this particular layout that they've got here. Well, you know what, my dear friends? There's a layout before us. It might seem like there's no way I'm going to be able to win this thing, but there is a way to win. There is a way. I got two questions we're done. The Bible says, as John fulfilled his course, first question is this, are you fulfilling your course? Are you fulfilling? I ain't talking about anybody else's course. Are you fulfilling your course? So a lot of times, like, well, they ain't there. I ain't talking about them. Are you fulfilling your course? Secondly, have you grown weary on the course? Have you grown weary on the course or in the battle? You know what you do? Maybe you do like John the Baptist. Lord, I know you told me to do this, but you still want me to continue to do this? Is this you? Or do I look for another? He's going to send you word. It's going to be good. Father, thank you for many blessings. Lord, I've tried my best. Think about the message you laid upon my heart. And I pray and ask God to help. If there's only one person that gets help this morning, Lord, I'd be thrilled. But I ask God to help us to realize that we can finish this course. And that the course is going to get rough at times. It's going to get hard. It's going to get difficult. But still, we can finish this course with joy. And I pray, God, that some folks that are struggling and perhaps need a little strength, maybe need some spiritual spinach. I pray, God, they come and get it from you this morning. Perhaps, God, there's someone that needs to have their head lifted up, is down in defeat. I pray, God, you lift up their heads this morning. Father, whatever it is you're saying to whomever you're speaking to, I pray, God, they respond. And then, God, receive from you the victory and the strength that they need. For that soul that might be lost, I pray, God, to come forth and show from the Word of God how to be born again, blood bought, placed in the family of God. Be our privilege, and we'll thank you. That's it, Master. Help us. In your Son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen.